Welcome, friends, to this ongoing series, Purgatory, the Dogma Explored. My name is Father Clement Machado. The last episode, I talked of purgatory and indulgences, their mutual relationship. Today, I wish to further explore the relationship between the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the Eucharist, and its relation to purgatory. As I mentioned in episodes number 2 and 3, where we dealt with the fathers of the Church, we saw how the Eucharist was the center of offering suffrages or prayers on behalf of deceased Christians, those that have left this world, still journeying onward to the heavenly homeland. In episode number 4, we looked at the liturgy in both the Orient, the Eastern Church, as well as the Latin Western Church, to see how the liturgies, right from the earliest centuries, right from the time of the apostles, manifested the tremendous amount of concern for Christians and their solicitude on behalf of the dead. During excavations, especially in the last century, whether in Rome, in Jerusalem, in the ruins of ancient Christian cities, we find funeral inscriptions stating, such and such a person is buried here, please pray for them. Remember them in the liturgy. Remember them in the Eucharistic sacrifice. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. The word Mass comes from the Latin word missa, which means being sent out on mission. At the end of the Eucharistic assembly, the end of the Mass, the traditional dismissal had been, go, the Mass is ended. Go now and live out the gospel that you've received. Live out the word that you've been nourished with, the word of Scripture, and the word of the Eucharistic elements of bread and wine, transformed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Go, missa est, ita missa est, from which we've derived a word and translated into English, mass. In French, mess. Therefore, we know the Mass deals with a mission. Why do we say holy? Because it is the representation, it is the reactualization of a living sacrifice that goes on unto eternity. Christ's sacrifice back 2,000 years ago has such infinite value that it goes beyond the constraints of history, beyond time and space, to reach out to all time until the end of the world, into infinity. Christ's sacrifice of praise, Christ's sacrifice to redeem us by His blood, has opened an infinite source of grace for all people of all times, of all conditions. That is what makes the Mass holy. It is the gathering of the Holy Spirit and the Christian community sanctified and being called to redemption. God's people journeying, pilgrimage here on the earth. God's people in transit, via, from this world to the next. Sacrifice. We have to understand the original etymology, Latin etymology, of sacrifice. It's derived from the Latin word sacrificio, which means offering up an oblation of something or someone or of oneself. What is the sacrifice that takes place during the Mass? We can spend hours, we can spend a whole series just on trying to understand the tremendous reality, multifaceted reality, as well as mystery of the Mass. However, it suffices to say that in the sacrifice of the Mass, it is Christ that takes the initiative to offer Himself, His whole body, His blood, His life's work, his divinity, his humanity, all of that that was offered up on the cross is being offered or sacrificed, a total, complete, absolute offering in its entirety to God our Father. Why was the sacrifice done for? What purpose? It is a thanksgiving that Christ the Son is continually offering to the Father. Thanksgiving of praise for all of God's good works in creation, among the angels, among the animals. When we look at the birds of the air, the forest, the trees, the flowers, see how people have been blessed with the gift of life, relationships, material and spiritual possessions. Therefore, it is that sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is why we use the word oftentimes Eucharist. It means the same thing as Mass. Eucharist comes from the Greek word we find in the Bible of Eucharistin, which means thanksgiving. St. Paul says, offer the Eucharist. Thanksgiving for all of God's good graces He showered us and endowed us with. Another part of sacrifice is that of sacrifice in reparation for sin. Redemptive sacrifice. The blood that had flowed from the Lamb of God hung on the cross 2,000 years ago covers, removes, uproots sin in all humanity, particularly those whose hearts are open for God to come and work and bring His healing message, His healing spirit, to do its wonders. The grace is offered, poured out. It only needs somebody to welcome it. It needs us as individuals to individually receive it, to individually receive its fruit into our lives and history and background. We know that the holy sacrifice of the Mass, therefore, has a powerful effect for all mankind in a general way, but also in an individual application. Each individual receives God's grace, receives and partakes from this sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice, in the measure, in the proportion that they allow God's Spirit to work in them. Grace and the Holy Spirit don't impose themselves on an individual Christian. Rather, the Christian is invited and prompted by the Spirit to open up to the fruits of Christ's blood shed on the cross. That is why the sacrifice of the Mass, though it is an infinite value, an infinite resource, only bears its effect on us as individuals in a limited measure, because we have a limited capacity. We are finite beings. We are not God. We are not infinite. And so our receptivity is limited. However, as each day goes by, as time goes on, through God's grace, He can elevate, He can up, He can increase our capacity to receive and be redeemed through this Eucharistic sacrifice. That applies for the living when it comes to being redeemed and healed from our sin or to do satisfaction for our sins. It also applies to those that have left this world, the dead. And when I say dead or deceased, it is only dead to the world in terms of a physical existence. Yet their souls are alive in God, whether in purgatory, heaven, or hell. The sacrifice of the Mass pours its fruit, purifying according to each individual disposition, however great, however intense, however limited it may be. Therefore, a soul in purgatory will have a different response as compared to another soul's response to our prayers offered up through the sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass for the living has a real effect of absolution. Absolution from sin, the wounds and effects of sin. However, for those that have left this world, the Mass doesn't have that type of almost judicial effect or absolution. Rather, we say it works on a different mode. We call it in Latin, per modum suffragi. What does that mean? Or per modum deprecationis. It means it works as an intercession. It works as a suffrage. Those that have left this world are not under the jurisdiction of the Christian community and its pastors. While we are on this earth, when we've sinned against God, we have to respond and answer to the Christian community. And that's why the early Christians, if they committed a serious sin, had to do a period of rehabilitation or penance. And then they were absolved, reintegrated back to a life with God, a life with the Christian community. But what happens when somebody still has some satisfaction or some small inclination to sin, impatience, for example, or a short temper, and they've left this world? We don't have the jurisdiction of penances. However, before Almighty God, we can intercede on their behalf. We pray for each other here on earth. We pray when a friend is in need, here in this life, and as well we presume they need our prayers after they've left this life in God's friendship. So that's what happens with the Mass. Its effect for the living is a little different than the effect for the deceased. However, it is an effective means of providing purification, of allowing Christ's redemption to fully purify somebody that has already been saved. When we pray for the souls in purgatory, they are saved. However, they're waiting for the fullness of redemption to reach to every single fiber, every single root, every single member of each and every person's life. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is known to have fruits. What are fruits? It means the results or consequences of the sacrifice. The fruits of Christ's sacrifice is, of course, making us holy, giving us faith, making us believers, justifying us before God's eyes, helping uproot sin. We need, therefore, besides that fruit of redemption, the individual application of that fruit into my life fully, beginning in this world and maybe concluding with purification in purgatory. People often ask me, how many masses will it take for a person to be purified? How many masses will it take for a person to finally have a 100% redemption? And when I say 100% redemption, I mean that they're already saved, yet there's some part of their life in which they're fighting with sin or addiction. See, you could give up cigarettes, you could give up alcohol, you could give up a bad habit, but you still might feel inclined towards it. The Holy Spirit is able to purify us from that. The Mass, so to speak, gives us that power we need. And again, I come back with that question, oftentimes asked. I can offer masses daily. I can offer 1,000 masses. I can spend all of eternity with masses. Well, purgatory is not an eternal state. It's of a duration. How long does it last? For each individual soul, it lasts in the measure that is required. Only God knows how much a soul needs to be purified, completely healed, completely rehabilitated, completely undefiled before Him. In purgatory, it is more a state. There is no such thing as physical time boundaries. In purgatory, the spiritual soul is not bound to the burden of time, of years, of weeks, of months, as we know it. One human year could mean one moment in purgatory. It is like comparing the angels and eternity with our own human notion of time. When we offer masses, we do it under a presumption of friendship. We take great pains to show friendship to people while they were here on earth. Why not show and express that friendship even as they've left this world? Why not offer up prayers and think of them as long as I live? They don't need prayers. Well, they might need prayers. We don't know. We don't know how long the purgatory will last for them. It could be a year, a second, a week, 10 years, a whole lifetime. Purgatory will be an obstacle for many in this regard. However, that is why the whole notion of the Mass brings it in a greater context, in a greater picture. There's often times where there have been non-Catholics as well as Christians of other denominations or churches that state, what about Mass offerings? Do we buy the Mass in order to release somebody from purgatory? Do we buy our redemption? Do we buy our salvation? Is it a profit that is being garnered here? What's going on? The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, whenever it was celebrated or there were particular intentions, what would happen is the following. You'd have a community that would ask a priest or presbyter, right from the time of the apostles, to come and celebrate Mass for a particular intention. Because someone has just passed away. There was a funeral. Somebody's sick. There is some need in the community. And so they would offer either money or food to defray the expenses and costs of having the priest come and celebrate Mass. It wasn't a question of buying off the priest or buying the Mass. The Mass has no price to it. The Mass is freely given by Jesus Christ. And he passes through. What you've given freely, what you have received freely, give freely. Therefore, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and Mass intentions are only a pretext, an occasion for the faithful to contribute to the upkeep of the church, the expense of celebrating the Mass, and of course, the travel expenses and expenses of the minister, incidental expenses. It is not meant to buy off the priest or minister or to purchase outright the Mass. It is something extrinsic, so to speak. Oftentimes, in non-profit organizations or non-profit work, charity work, there are expenses to be paid. And so there's a transaction of money. Property has to be bought, food has to be bought. As well, we have to sometimes engage the services of professionals or people that might work for a minimal amount of money. You might have volunteers that come. They don't gain a salary. However, we know those volunteers have expenses or incur expenses that have to be paid. So what is given non-profit or out of charity still has an expense to it. Same thing in terms of any other work of indulgence or that attached with the Eucharist. It is not in and of itself a profitable enterprise or materially, financially profitable enterprise. Rather, the expenses surrounding it need to be attended to. That is in full harmony with the gospel. So the fruits of the Mass are different according to the needs of each individual, according to their state before God, to the amount of sin in which God asked them to contribute some form of reparation or satisfaction. How many times have you been outside in the snow or in the rain? or just step outside while it's raining. You know there's a whole shower and a whole volume of water falling. But the amount of water that is falling down on you individually is not the vast volume that's surrounding you. There might be X number of millimeters of water, or X number of inches of snow falling around you or around your house, yet maybe a couple of inches fell on you, or a few flakes. That is what happens when we participate or celebrate in Mass. It is as if we're being showered with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a whole flurry, a whole snowfall of God's grace. Yet the amount that we actually receive is limited. When you're in the shower or bathing in the morning, you have a certain amount of water, yet only some of it, or only as much of it, is used that you require, that you need, in order to clean yourself. The same thing in the souls in purgatory. Only in as much as they need and can take in will they receive the fruits of the sacrifice of the Mass. St. Robert Bellarmine, in his great tract on purgatory, De Purgatio, talks at length of how the fruits of the Mass are able to provide great remedy, great relief, and even ultimate release for those souls that are in need of purification and expiation. After the Council of Trent, this teaching became more and more clear in the Christian populace, particularly among the pastors of the church. Another question that people often pose is the following. What happens when no Mass is said for the deceased in purgatory? What happens? Well, in that case, they don't benefit from it directly. They indirectly benefit from our prayers. In a general way, this sacrifice of the Mass is being offered for all the faithful, for all the souls. As I had mentioned in an earlier episode, I gave the example from the various Eucharistic prayers of the Church. For example, in Eucharistic prayer number 1, we state, "Remember, Lord, those who have died and have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, especially those for whom we now pray." And another liturgy of the Church, Eucharistic prayer number 4, we state, "Remember those who have died in the peace of Christ, and all the dead whose faith is known to you alone." Thereby, all people are encompassed with our prayers in a general way. And so, indirectly, in a general way, they receive the fruits of our prayer, the fruits of our intercession made through the Mass. However, the practice of applying the intention of the Mass more specifically directed towards one or a group of individuals is well rooted. After all, when people ask us to pray for them, we can pray for a group in general. I can pray for my parish, my community, my family. I can pray for the sick in general. I can pray for peace in the world in general. However, when somebody asks me to pray for them specifically, for their specific person and need, I say, "Lord, I'm praying for John, James, and Martha." Dear friends, we'll further explore this and indulgences, the Handbook of Indulgences, next time. Kindly join me. Almighty God and Father, you're full of mercy and love. May the blessing of God be upon you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.